Let's turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. This has been our text. I encourage you, if you miss any of these, if you have missed, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. They build on one another. And you'll be blessed. Ephesians 3:14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory," hallelujah, "the riches of His glory, limitless, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And we've been focusing on that phrase in verse 17. It says, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Established in love. How many of you can say that you can sense yourself being more rooted and grounded in love and coming up since we've started this series? I know I have. When you preach the word, it's the same thing. You're hearing the word, and I expect all of us to come up to a higher level. As you hear the word, wherever you hear the word, in the area that you hear the word, you're going to gain faith in that area. You're going to be stirred up in that area. So as we're talking about love, our faith for what Jesus has done and how He loves us, and these different things about love that we'll get into, it's going up. We go to a higher level, and that's the way it ought to be. And so we've been talking about being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Through His Spirit in the inner man. That's what we focused on last week. It's through the Holy Spirit that this is going to happen. This process of being rooted and grounded in love is going to happen through the Holy Spirit's working. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to get the job done. The Holy Spirit is the connection of how God's going to do things in your heart. We'll see that. We read some scripture. We're going to go further in that today. Let's turn over to Romans 5:5. We ended up around here last week. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look back in verse 1. Let's just read this, because it says, "Now hope does not disappoint." Verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance," or endurance, "endurance, character, and character, hope." So it's saying we also glory in tribulations. When we're going through a tough time, we can glory in it. thank God for it? No, not so much. You're thanking God through it. It's because, see, God is not, he's not our problem. He is our help in problems. He is not causing it. He's where we go in times of trial. He's there to help us and help us through. It says, not only that, we know that we can glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And it says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So in our hearts, in our spirit man, the Holy Spirit, the love of God has been poured out. You notice he didn't just say, I gave you a couple drops. He didn't just say, I just put a little smidgen. He said it's been poured out. What does that give you a picture of? You know, you pour something. Once you start to pour something, it's flowing. It's not just, you know, doing a little drip or something. It's pouring out. That love of God, this is what we're talking about, has been poured out in our hearts. Now, it hasn't been poured out in your head. And it hasn't been poured out in your flesh. It's been poured out in your heart. That means if you have a thought about somebody, it's not you. Yeah, keep in mind, the love of God's been poured out in our heart. Your head can have all kinds of thoughts. Your flesh can recoil at somebody and what they're doing. That's not your heart. You can't let those things dominate you. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So we have to look to our heart. If we're going to walk in the things of God and walk with God and walk in the love of God, we're going to have to look to our heart. But the good news is that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Has been. Has been. It's already been done. So love is not something you pray for. We have it. It's been poured out in our heart. We have it. We have to exercise it. We have to act on it. And if you have not been exercising it in an area, just you know it as well as I do in the natural. If you haven't done certain things physically for a while and you go to do them, you can feel some muscles you haven't felt for quite some time. You can feel, whoa, haven't felt that for a while. I'm sore, right? Why? Because it hasn't been exercised. But how many of you know if you go to do something, you haven't done it for a while, and you're sore, if you keep doing it, that'll go away, and you'll begin to get stronger. I had a coach in high school, weightlifting coach. When we started weightlifting, this one, I played soccer, but all the football players had weightlifting the summer before. And I had a friend that was a football player, and we were just going into ninth grade. And we signed up for it. When I got there, I realized there's all football players except me, and I'm the soccer player, which, you know. Anyway, this guy wasn't real hot on soccer. Anyway, he's a football player, so, you know. Anyway, and so but I got in the weightlifting course, so this was over the summer. So I learned some things. That was good. But the thing he said at the beginning, he said, when you start, he goes, you're going to be sore, and you're not hurt. And don't you any of you come whining to me and tell me how you're hurt, and this hurts, and that's hurt. He goes, it's lactic acid in your muscles and whatever. You just have to work through it. If you work out, it'll go away. But don't come and tell me how you're sore and you're hurt, and I think I injured myself. It's natural. It's what happens. He's funny. But anyway, he told us this. It's the same thing. If you haven't been exercising the love of God, then you, in that area, you're going to be sore. If you go and you go in an area and you see somebody and they just tick you off, and you haven't been walking in the love of God, you're not and you try to walk in the love of God, it's not going to be natural to you. It's not going to be normal to you at all. And people, what they say is, I guess I just don't love that person anymore. Have you heard that? People in the natural say, well, we used to be in love, but I just don't love them anymore. What does that mean? You go back 10, 15, 20 years, you could not pull these people apart. But now, they stop doing it. It's the same thing with exercise, right? There might have been a time you could do anything in an area. It was normal. You've been exercising. You're fine. But you stop doing it. Now you try to do it and it hurts. It's the same thing. With two people, if we're not yielding to the love of God and you start yielding to something else, yielding to your head, yielding to your flesh, it becomes easier and easier and easier to yield to your flesh and yield to your mind. And you can be a Christian, you can be born again, spirit-filled, but you're not listening to the love of God that's been shed abroad. Where? Your heart. And people start thinking, I don't love that person. That's not true. You're not yielding to the love that's already in you. And it's easy to start getting in a mode where you can start yielding to the wrong thing. And just as easy as you can get into a good habit, you can start getting into a bad habit and start going the wrong way. And all it is picking up and starting to yield to the love of God again. And we all have it. And how is that going to happen? The Holy Spirit has been given to help us do this very thing, to walk in the love of God. Look on your sheet there. Romans 5:5. New Century Version says, and this hope will never disappoint us, because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. The New Living Translation says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. He has given us the Holy Spirit, what? To fill our hearts with His love. So the Holy Spirit, one of His roles is to help us in the love area, is to help us walk in love. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5 there. 2 Corinthians 5.2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, everybody there? For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died. The love of Christ compels us. Where's that love? It's in our heart. It compels us. It compels us. You can look back in verse 12, it says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live for them, or those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." The love of Christ compels us to do what he would have us to do, if we're yielded to him. Now, you don't have to yield to God. You can yield to your flesh. You can yield to your mind. But how many of you know God's way is the best way? I think we've all had situations where we've tried it our way, like in relationships or, well, especially in relationships. We've all let ourselves, we saw that, well, we yielded to the wrong thing. We wanted to give somebody a piece of our mind, and we did, and how well did that go? Has that ever gone well for somebody, you know? Maybe you think, well, that went really well. Well, I don't know. Ask the other person. When you really want to tell somebody off, it might feel good, right? Your flesh would get a kick out of it. Just go off on somebody, like we say. Let them have it, rip them upside one side and down the other. But that just leaves a big hole. You got to patch that up somehow. And it's not easy sometimes, right? So we've gotten in the way. We've let our, you know, you might have just been tired. Didn't get enough sleep. You're hungry. That's a bad time to have a serious conversation. Tired, hungry, and you just, you know, snapped at somebody and went off. Your emotions just might have been drained, but or you might have just been fed up with somebody, but you let them have and told them off. That's not yielding to the love of God. We have a choice at that point. And the whole time, even in the midst, the words coming out of our mouth, if we would look on the inside, if you're born again, there is something scratching you on the inside telling you to shut your mouth. You're going down the wrong path. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You knew before you let it rip. We knew. Shouldn't say this. Sometimes we just go and say, I don't care, here we go. And we have an option, though. You couldn't say we didn't have a choice, right? We have a choice. We could stop. To say I didn't have a choice, I had to, is a lie. But that lie will keep us bound. Because if we think we have no choice, we can't change our behavior. But for the Spirit of the living God, we talked about it last week in some detail. For the Spirit of the living God to be inside of us and for us to say, couldn't help it, something's wrong. Because he's up to any challenge. How many of you know Jesus died for the most ungodly person? So his love isn't the problem. And his love's been shed abroad where? Poured out where? In our hearts. So the love of Christ, the love of Christ compels us. So we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That's the King James, that poured out in our heart. The love of God, not your love, not my love, the love of God is poured out in our hearts. That same love that what we read in the when we were taking tithes and offerings, that it was that Jesus loved us first, and he went to the cross for us. That love has been shed abroad or poured out in our hearts. So it's not a love problem. When we're in a situation, it's not a situation that I just can't help myself. No, if we're a born again child of God, we have the love of God in our heart. It's there. Now, we have a choice. What are we going to do with it? Right? And every one of us faces many of these each day. Right? We have a choice whether you have a choice when you're on the highway. Sometimes you're on the interstate. Somebody does something. Maybe you didn't do anything, and all of a sudden somebody's honking at you. You have a choice. You have a choice. Which way am I going to go? Right? You have a choice. When you're in the grocery store, you have a choice on the job. You have a choice when you're with your family. You have a choice with your spouse. Has anybody that's married ever been in a situation where your spouse said something to you and you had a choice whether you were going to say something that you really wanted to say or not? And you knew. You wanted to say something, but they said something to you, and it's like time stands still right here. Am I gonna say what I'd like to say, or am I going to just let that go right by? And you know, because you've been down the road, if I say what I'm thinking I might say, you know where that road leads. Just right into that brick wall right there. That's where I'm going, right there. So I can go that way, and part of me wants to go there, right? And which part is it? Is that your heart? No. It's not your heart. It's your flesh and your mind, that your unrenewed mind at that part is having thoughts. Said that. You what? I cannot believe. Are you gonna yield to it? Or you could just be going fine and they didn't say anything. And you notice something. And you have an option to say it out loud or not. And you know from a past experience, if you say this, again, I'm going to go into that brick wall right there. You know, if I say this, what's going to happen? So then I have a choice. Am I going to yield? I'm not saying you don't ever confront things, don't ever have honest discussion, not saying that. I'm saying there are things that we do that don't need to be done. That we do because we want to, not our heart wants to, but some other part of us wants to, and we just yield to it. And we know flat out we shouldn't be. And if we'll listen to our heart, our heart is telling us, don't do that. Is this right? Our heart's saying, that's not the way to go. And we know, if we're listening to our heart, the right way to go, and it's yielding to that love that's going to give us the victory. That's going to get us through. Because it's the love of who? God. The love of God. We're not even talking about our love. Human love is fickle. Here, one day I love you. Next day I'm going to kill you. Get out of my house. Right? No, it's not solid. The love of God, though, is abiding. It's solid. Stand there. Just constant. It will love somebody through everything, any circumstance. Love them. Never give up on them. That doesn't mean it's mamby-pamby. That means I'm going to do the best thing for the person no matter what. But that love is that love. And we're going to get into what that love looks like probably later, not today. But we know somewhat Jesus died for us. We know that love is shed abroad in our heart. And that love, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to walk in. And that's the point that I really want us to get today. That the Holy Spirit has been given to us to walk in love. To do what pleases God. And so we couldn't say, I don't have any help. We couldn't say it's too hard. And if we do, we're making excuses. And those type of excuses will enslave us and imprison us. Because we'll think, I don't have an option. I can't stop it. I can't help it. I get to a certain point, and here we go. I lose my temper every time. I can't help it. It's just the way I am. Well, that might be the way our flesh is trained. That might be the way we've reacted 1,000 times, 10,000 times. It might be a habit. But the real us has the love of God shed abroad in our heart, right? Do we read that from the Bible or not? So if the real us has the love of God shed abroad in our heart, then if we yield to that, we're operating the way God would operate. So we are not bound. If we say we can't do anything about it, we side with the enemy and we say, I can't do it. Then you're saying the word is of none effect in your life. I can't do it. God, you can't help me do it. And we stay where we are. And it's not that God doesn't love us. Well, I just can't help it. God, you just love me just the way I am, and you know I lose my temper over and over. Yeah, God loves you, but you're destroying your family. Or you're destroying your relationship. And the fact is, we don't have to do it. Right? We don't. If we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us, there is no problem that the Holy Spirit can't conquer. And so if we say, I'm going to listen to you. If I know, and I believe the word, that the love of God has been poured out in my heart and the Holy Spirit has been given to help me with that love, now I can conquer anything. I don't care if I've done it for the last 15 years, I can change and I can start changing now. I don't have to walk it out perfect, but I can change. It can be different. This scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says in the voice on your scripture sheet there, it says, you see the controlling force in our lives is the love of the Anointed One. The controlling force in our lives is the love of the Anointed One. That's Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. Is this for us this morning or not? This is for us. This is the Bible. So that means maybe we've accepted lies that I can't control myself in certain situations. That would be a lie. We can do what we want to do. What we set our hearts on, what God tells us we can do, that we can do. And if He tells us we can do this, then we can do it. Right? And we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Look at Philippians 2:13. Let's just look at it on your sheet there. Philippians 2:13, because we read this last week. We're going to look at it in several translations, but you can see this. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." In the New Life Version, He is working in you. God is helping you obey Him. God is doing what He wants done in you. Is God helping us to obey it, to obey Him? Look at it in the New Living Translation. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. The Holy Spirit is helping us with this. Look at it in the voice. Because God is energizing you so that you will desire and do what always pleases Him. So reading these scriptures, could you say you just can't do it? No, it says God is helping us. To do what? Not just to do anything. He's helping us obey Him. In the New Living Translation, it says God is helping you obey Him. God is doing what He wants done in you. New Living Translation, giving you the desire, the want to, and the power. The oomph to get it done. So could you say, I just can't change. I'm this is the way I am. Could you say that? If we say that, we're saying that God failed. God doesn't have the power to change me. Now, He may have worked in other people's lives, but I'm just too tough of a nut to crack. He can't do it for me. I'm a lost cause. I'm just can't do it. What are we saying? God's a failure. God's not a failure. So then we have a choice. If I'll let Him do this, because we have to yield to Him. We have to yield our will to Him. Any person on the face of the earth, if they'll give their will to God, He can turn anything around. He can change. He can break any habit. I mean, you are going to work with Him. He knows how to do it. Do you realize any problem, any habit, any addiction, any relationship problem. He knows exactly the steps to change it completely 180 right now. He is not confused about it. He does not have to go and meditate on it. He knows right now exactly what you need to do. Perfectly. Step A, B, C, D, E, F, and however many steps it takes, he knows exactly the path. The best path for you. So then, if he knows, and he's in us, and he's, the Bible says he'll help us, what's the next step? We have to yield to him. We have to say, God, all right, help me, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Can it be that simple? Now, I just say it's easy on your flesh, easy on your mind. No, not necessarily. But who says it has to be easy? In that movie Soul Surfer about that Christian girl that lost her arm, the shark, when she's recuperating, she asks her dad to help her with some stuff, and he goes, it's not going to be easy. She said, I don't need easy, I just need possible. Why? Who said everything's easy? Well, it's not easy, I'm not going to do it. Who said? Going to the cross was not easy. Jesus did it. What Paul did was not easy, but he did it. But he did it through the power of Christ. Why do we get it in our minds everything's supposed to be easy? No, your flesh is going to work against you, but you can't focus on that and glorify where you've been and how bad it's been. You got to glorify the God inside of you and say, I will come through this. He will help me. And you see yourself on the other side, and we'll get there. Because God himself is in our heart. His love is shed abroad in our heart, is poured out in our heart, and he is helping us to get there. If he's helping us and we're joined with him, it's a foregone conclusion. We have to win. If he knows how to get there, and he has the power to get there, and I'm joining up with him and telling me now, tell me how to get there, what's left? We got to get there. How could we fail? Right? No, we're not going to fail. Now, sometimes it looks like you're going to fail. That's the test. Then do we go, well, I tried. Tried that word stuff. Tried the Bible. Doesn't work. Says who? See, that when it doesn't look like it's working, but the Bible says it will be this way, it's going to work, that's your test right there. Am I going to listen to what I'm seeing and feeling, this stuff that's hitting my eyes and my ears and my flesh? Am I going to listen to that? Or am I going to listen to what is in my heart, in the heart? The love is in my heart, and it's saying, you got this. You're going. It's going to be fine. That's what the Word says, right? So that's where I have to just keep on going and doing what He told me to do and believe I can do it. Let's look at John 14:26 on your sheet. We read this last week. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus speaking, he's here now, but then the Holy Spirit hadn't come. It said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. The Helper. He is called the Helper. He is the Helper. This is what he does. He's the Helper. Well, I can't get it done. Okay. Good thing we have a Helper. Do you see this? I just don't know if I can make it. I just don't know if I'm smart enough. Hey, good news. We have a Helper. And what does the Helper do? The Helper helps. So see, the world says, I don't need any help. I'll do it my own. I'll do it all on my own, thank you. Don't need the crutch of Jesus. One of the stupidest statements, an ignorant statement anybody could say, but we need him to do what he's told us to do. And you might as well just admit it now. If you tried to do things on your own and it hasn't worked out, well, good news. We have a helper and there's hope. Amen. We can do it His way and He'll get us through. He's the helper. He was sent to the earth to do this, to help us. That's what He does. He was sent for that reason because God knew we're going to need help. And I guarantee you, if He told you to do something in your life, if you're going to live godly and do what He tells you to do, you're going to need help. That is the Christian way. Christianity is not, I got this. I just need fire insurance, so I just need to get into heaven, just so I'm not going to hell. It's not that. It's I could do nothing to help myself. Without Him, I am going to hell. I am a child of the devil, and I needed Him to, by Himself, completely redeem me because I could do nothing. Nothing to save myself. So that's how I came in to the family. And just as we received Him is the same way we're supposed to walk in Him. Just because you got in the family now, it's like, okay, now I know a little word, I can do it. No, we know the word and we work with Him to help us. We should get up every day saying, Lord, help me. Show me what to do. Give me the wisdom for this day. Show me the next step. Without you, Jesus said, without you, I can do nothing. Jesus. What chance do we have to do it if Jesus couldn't do it? None. If God Himself walking in the flesh needed to look to God the Father, then we do. This is not an admission of weakness. This is an admission of strength. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to look to the Helper. And when I don't see a way through, and I say, I don't know how to fix this, good news. There is somebody that knows exactly what to do. And all I have to do is, He's waiting for us to say, here you go. I tried it. I just made a mess of it. Here you go. Here you go. It's yours. That's what He wants. He says, okay, now I can help. Have you ever tried to help your kids with something and they won't let you help? Huh? You want to help them and they won't let you help? And you're like, I know how to do this. No, I can do my, okay. Go for it. Don't look at me like that. You the parents know that. All children will do this at some point. So you're trying to help them, and they're like, no, I don't want to do it. Right? And so if you can't do anything, like, and then they come to you and say, can you help me? Because I can't do it. Oh, now you want help. God is looking at us, and most people are going, we don't need any help. Okay. God can't get in there and help. If we're saying, no, I know how to do it, we're just banging our head against the wall. Oh, there they go again. Okay, boom. And then get up and just go right again. But won't let God do it, right? No, I got this. I'm going to try it again. Yeah. And then finally, we come and say, God, made a mess of everything. Here you go. Help me. He's like, okay. Now, God is gracious. He wouldn't be like some of us. You want help now? No, wait another 10 years, buddy. I'll come back to you. No, He is gracious. And He said, the helper's here to help you. I'm so glad you came and asked me. Thank you. He's so gracious. It's so merciful. But if we have it and we don't let Him help, can He help? No, He can't help. He'll do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. He'll do everything He can to help. But if we're kind of elbowing Him out and pushing, He's going to do everything He can to bless us and help us. But it's so much better if we'll just go to Him and say, God, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me, please? And He said, Yes. I have given you the helper, and he will show you what to do. Thank God. Look at Ezekiel 36. We'll end with this. Just go ahead and look at it on your sheet. It's familiar Bible, but we'll just look at it on your sheet. Ezekiel 36, 25. It says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you." This is talking about the future. This was in the Old Covenant, but it's talking about what's going to happen. "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." How's that going to happen? He said, "I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to do it." Now, you need to cooperate with it. He's not going to overtake you. He's not going to overtake us, but he put his spirit in us. Why? To help us obey him. God did not set us up. And like so many religions would be and say, "You guys prove yourself to me and come." No, he paid the price. And then he gave us his spirit to help us to live the Christian life.
Awesome.
What is our job? To look to him.
Right.
To let him help us. Help me help you. Right? He wants us to help. He wants to help so much. But all we have to say is, "Lord, I need your help in this. I give this part to you. Help me to do it. Lord, I yield it to you." And you know what? He'll help. He'll show us how to do it every time. He'll get us where we need to be. Every time. Hallelujah. He's so good. So gracious. Praise God.